front here also.
Oh, you want me to hold it?
Yeah, it's a little, just in a, right there.
It's okay. It's pretty good. You can see if it's getting, picking up. No, don't move it.
Yeah.
It's good. Go ahead.
Okay. I've heard before that after you have, like, some sort of intense spiritual experience or realization, like a breakthrough in chanting or something like that, sometimes you have really mundane dreams afterwards, and I heard that this can mean the anartas are going away or something, these impurities are coming out of your heart. I was wondering if you'd be able to expand on this.
This devotee asked a question and said that kind of two or three things mixed together, but you have some profound experience while chanting japa or some confrontation or during dreams, during swapna, you may have some experience or some challenge, let's say some challenge or confrontation or experience, a challenge of your karma or a confrontation of your karmas, or your weak points, or your anarthas, or where you're attached. We all have different attachments which are binding us in this world and to people and to ideas and misconceptions. So then these experiences we have in dream or while chanting or some vision, are they indicative of the removal of that anartha or the elimination of that bad karma? This is the question. Yes? I have not. The whole idea is you won't find like black and white answers exactly for this question, but I've heard this point mentioned sometimes in lectures that when you dream, now the whole idea of transcending karma depends on choices we make. So that. We have free will and we have destiny. Destiny is pushing us. Our samskaras and our prabdha karma, what we're carrying over from last life, is pushing us in this life to think or act in a particular way, which may be good and or bad, may be sinful or religious, let's say. So now, then that's our karma. But then there's free will, the choice we make. So depending on how strong our bhajan is and how strong our prayers are and how much mercy is descending upon us from above, from Guru, from Vaishnavas, from Krishna, then we can step over these karmic tests. You can say tests or confrontations. So the answer would be, yes, you can become elevated and purified and detached, especially if you're identification as a spiritual being is strong enough that you reach out to that identity in the face of these confrontations. I'll give you an example. You're having a dream and you dream about there's some people in the dream and there's an opportunity with those friends, lovers, husbands, wives, whatever people, there's opportunities in the dream to do activities which are not spiritual. Let's say, to what we call the regulative principles that we all are aware of, you know, the four principles. There's opportunities in the dream. You know, you're like, say, for example, you're sitting in a circle and everyone is, I know that was, I shouldn't say. Everyone's sitting in a circle and they're passing some hookah and they're smoking something, you know, that we're not supposed to do as devotees. So then, it goes like this, ordinarily, it could be. But then in a dream, you say, I don't do that now anymore. I'm following a different line of activity. It's okay. All right. So now, then you may wake up and say, wow. Then you understand that your new identity, which is your free will, also your destiny, but you're identifying with this your spiritual persona, that I'm Krishna's devotees, and Krishna's devotees live like this and act like this. And that was my old persona, my old self. So when you pass the test, then that desire, you know, maybe several desires to say to smoke hookah or like that, maybe you have 100. So that in that dream or in that while chanting that you're seeing some vision or whatever, if you pass the test, then it becomes 99. You follow? 99 desires. Then if you have 90, say you had 98 dreams in succession, say for 98 days, and you only had 100 desires, it's a very small example, you had 100 desires left to do this non-religious activity. And you had 100, you had 100 dreams, and every time you said no, then that won't come. That dream won't come because that desire is out. It's a fact. But usually people don't have much conscious control over the content or decisions or flow of their subtle body. The subtle body, the mental body, the mind, when we dream. It just takes us for a ride. We just go here and there. So, because what happens is that we have our prarabdha, and our, it's like that Christians say, the devil made me do it. They say, I don't know, maybe you're not Christians or whatever, but they have some idea, the devil made me do it. There's devil sitting on my shoulder. Go ahead, do it. No, it's not good. Don't do it. So, I because this is what I've heard explained, and this is a practical, but it's very, when one fully identifies with his new spiritual persona, because if you fully identify as a spiritual being, then there's no more karma for you. You won't in this life, you won't engage in any more non-spiritual activities. So you'll get liberated. And whatever we're carrying over from last life, you'll be confronted with that. Are you hung up here? Are you attached here? You want to take two steps forward, you want to step one step back? You know, we're taking two steps forward on the line of progress towards liberation, perfection, prema, love of God, going to Krishna. And then some prarabdha or some karma comes, oh, come this little bit. Oh, then, oh, okay, and one step back. Or maybe three steps back. So it's like we're going forward and back and forward and back and forward and back. But we want to keep going forward. So it's definitely happening like that. And if you fail, then you can understand that I'm not that spiritually ready yet. Not that spiritually prepared to it. So then it's not that confrontation. It's just, it teaches us, if we don't, let's say, pass the test, then the test will keep coming. That attachment, that negativity, that bad karma will come again, present itself, life after life. Because once you have the idea and fully accept the idea that I want liberation, or I want to attain the eternal spiritual realm and some eternal spiritual relationship with God, and that becomes very strong, and even change your lifestyle, change your dress and your eating and your habits, and everything is molded, your entire being is molded around a spiritual identity and a spiritual culture and a spiritual life, and what you've read about and understood about the nature of personalities in the spiritual world. They live like this, they dress like this, the gopis sing about Krishna, and we sing about Krishna, and you start identifying with all of that, and it's only a matter of minutes or hours or lifetimes when we enter that realm, because that's our whole thinking, feeling and willing is that. And we're carrying something. Some people have a rucksack that has 10 kilos in it. Some people have 5 kilos, 1 kilo. I mean, it's a fact. In one lifetime, you can go BTG, as they say. BTG, back to Godhead. Because the example is there in the first canto of Narada Muni. Narada Muni, he got the blessings of the great devotees. He ate their food remnants. He was a young boy. He got their blessings. And when he died, Vishnu came from Vaikuntha, brought his spiritual body and took him directly. He didn't take birth in Boma Vrindavan or Boma Vaikuntha or anything. He went directly. And the other story is in Dhruva Maharaj in fourth canto. He was in Madhavan, which is in Brajmandal. He was doing austerities, young boy. And Vishnu came out of his heart, gave darshan, immediately took him to Vaikuntha. He was like 5 years old. Didn't take another birth. He went straight. And then Ajamil in the fourth canto, sixth canto, he was saved. He chanted pure nam. He was saved from the Yamadutas and death. He actually was saved from death. And then that extra life he had, he was an old man. He was an old man when he was dying. He was 88 years old. And he saw these creatures of death, the Yamadutas. And then he became frightened. And he called out his son, Narayan. So it's considered it was Sanket Nam. He was indicating something else. So it wasn't pure Nam. It was Namabhas. It was just accidental chanting. But he got so much benefit that he totally saw his whole life in front of him. He saw all of his whole life. I was a Brahmin. I was raised as a very pure Brahmin boy, doing all pujas. And then I had a Brahmin wife. Then I got attracted to this prostitute and this and that, and how I passed my last so many years in sinful activities. And now I should give all this up. So he was given some special blessing. So he left. He went to Haridwar. He did Nam Bhajan. And then he went to Vaikuntha in one life, straight. So it's possible that we can pass all these tests and in this life go to the spiritual world. But generally it takes some life. It's not so... It's possible, but it's rather rare. It will take many lifetimes to be so fixed. Because when you read the story of Narada Muni, also in the first canto, as a young boy, he got the mercy of the devotees, and then his mother died, and then he left his mother. He was living with his mother. He's wandering all around, and he actually came to the level of bhava. He had intense loving feelings for Vishnu. And it's described in the Bhagavatam. His hair was standing in end. He was crying. He was very highly evolved spiritually. And then finally he got darshan of Vishnu. And then he left his body. So you pass all these tests and you can go back to Godhead in this lifetime. And also when you have experiences like you said during japa or in dreams, and where you win, where you're successful, when you wake up, you remember that, and you say, oh, I am Krishna's devotee. Why? And then even you have some kritagya, it's called repentance. You're repenting to the Lord. You're saying, why this thing comes to me in my dream? Krishna, you should just come to me. Or Gurudev, you should appear. Why am I seeing these flashbacks from this previous? So then you feel repentive. And then you say, Krishna, I just don't want any of this. It's just not me. And can you just take it all out of my stock? All these old movies, you know, take them out of the archives and just burn them up, you know? I don't want to rerun, you know, reruns. They rerun some movie. I don't want to see these reruns again, you know. I played in that movie before, and I don't want to play anymore, you know. Can you please? So that itself, that prayer, that repentance, that itself is another form of purification. And removal of those samskaras. Because you're in your dream, you're asserting your spiritual identity. And when you wake up, you reaffirm and reassert your spiritual identity by repentance and prayer. And then you had a dream, and it was like a battle, and you won. And you wake up, and it's like, you're more determined. You're actually more determined. You have experience like this? Everyone is sincere and trying, and they'll have. Because, you know, conscious life, we're sleeping. Only senses are closed. Eyes are closed. Ears are somewhat closed. Mouth, hands. But mental, whole mind is working. And the soul is the most subtle entity. There's no bones in the soul, no blood, no skin. The soul has a body of bhav, bhav deya. Krishna's body is made of love. I say, oh, love, you know, it's all love. Well, Krishna and Radharani, their bodies are just made of prana. They say, Mahabhav Sarupini. Mahabhav Sarupini Radha means she's just bhav, she's just prema. You know, how much it weighs, how much, you know. It's bigger than the biggest. Some other question?
I have a question about Jagannath Ballad of Subhadra, and how is it in the, because especially Ballad of Subhadra, they are not really, I cannot really relate it to like a Raghunuga Bhajan, like a Manjari Bhav, and they are, but we have them also in the Radha Kund, there is like a big temple of them just next to the Lalita Kund, and can you a little bit elaborate on that?
Jai Jagannath. Question is about how do Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra fit into Raghunuga Bhajan? I think if I'm representing Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and all the Guru Varg of and Lord Chaitanya, I can say they don't fit in. they don't fit in. As far as a temple of Jagannath on the Prikamarg of Vrindavan, there's a major temple of Jagannath. The big Jagannath deities there in Vrindavan Prikamarg, and of course here they're over by near on the way to Lita Kund. That particular temple was started by a devotee from Orissa. So it makes sense. Everybody from Orissa, they have kind of a strong bonding, you know, they have this term bonding, strong bonding, a DNA, RNA bonding with Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. I mean, if you're going to make a temple, you must make Jagannath and Balaram. And then the present Mahant there, that Baba, he's also Orissan. He's from Orissa. Good Baba, nice devotee. Musician, singer, writer, like anything, scholar. But so that's a particular thing. But if you look at the other, because you're talking about Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, we can say one of them fits in somehow with Rag Bhajan, and that's Shamsundar, Jagannath. So we find even in the Babaji temples, even in the six Goswami temples, the ancient temples, Damodar, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, etc. in Vrindavan, they have Jagannath. There's Radha and Krishna. Jagannath can be on the same altar. Radha and Krishna, and you can have Jagannath there. You can have Jagannath there. You can have Mahaprabhu, one deity of Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, Rasaraj, Mahabhav, Mahaprabhu, then Mahaprabhu, then Krishna, then Radha, then Jagannath. Like, you can have like this. I've seen many. There are one in Tattva, there are one in Ras. They're all like this. Because Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath not as Vaikunthanath, not as the Lord of the Universe, but he saw him as Shamsundar, Brajendra Nandan Shamsundar. And that's how it's told in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he was Gauranga's Krishna in Radha Bhav. So he's in Ashraya, Premashraya Bhav. My Premvishaya is, this is my Krishna. My mother wanted me, I wanted to stay in Vrindavan, but my mother said, please, Vrindavan is too far away. Will you please, you want to stay in a holy dham, and you don't want to stay in Navadvip, because your wife lives here, and like Vishnu Priya, Navadvip is a holy dham, it's a birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So he asked Chachimata, where do you want me to stay? Because it's a kind of part of dharma for the children to please their mother and father also. So Shashimata said, can you please stay in Jagannath Puri, because Oriyans, they're regularly going back and forth, Puri, Bengal, Puri, Mayapur, Puri, Navadvip. So easily I can find news of you, because I lost my elder son, Vishwarup. He disappeared. I don't know where he went. Now I want to keep touch with you. I lost my husband, Jagannath Mishra. I lost my elder son. So then Lord Chaitanya said, Daso Smi, for the benefit of my mother, I'll stay in Jagannath Puri. This is why Lord Chaitanya stayed in Jagannath Puri. But he told, I just had an article on Facebook, he ordered all of his all the acharyas and all of his followers, you don't stay in Puri, you go to Vrindavan. You go to Vrindavan, Rupa, Sanatan, Raghunath, Krishnath, Kaviraj, Narottam, Vishwanath, everybody go to Vrindavan. So they all came to Vrindavan to do bhajan. So Jagannath, he's there on all the temples because Sanatan Goswami, when he's writing in Hari Bhakti Vilas, this is the Vaishnav Smriti, the Gaudiya Vaishnav Smriti, the law book, the rule book for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He says that Gaudiyas should follow, when they have Radha Krishna deities, they should observe the festivals and utsavas that are being done in Jagannath Puri, like Julan, like Chandan Yatra, like the boating festival, and like the Rath Yatra festival. Because in the Puranas, after Anutani Kadasi, you put Radha and Krishna on a Rath Yatra cart, and you take them on a Rath. This is told there. In many temples they do. They put Radha and Krishna on a Rath Yatra cart, and they take a chariot ride with Radha and Krishna Murtis, not Jagannath. So he said, like they do. So they have Chandan Yatra, we have Chandan Yatra. They have boating festival, we have boating festival. So they have Jagannath Rath Yatra. So then all these temples, seven temples of Vrindavan, they had their own carts, and they put Jagannath on there, and they would take him all through Rai Bazaar and all Gopinath Bazaar and go to Gyan Gudri, Gudhadri, by Rangaji, and that would be the last stop I've seen. And here we have a Rath Yatra also at Radhakund. And they take the Jagannath out. And so there they take that temple. I think they take all three. I can't even remember. Maybe it must be all three. But so Jagannath is not, you can say, if someone is following Raghunuga Bhakti, generally they have a monastic murti. Even deity worship itself is not necessary or not even prescribed. Many acharyas, when they're training their disciples in Raghunuga Bhajan, they give some chitramurtis. They give a picture. They give a picture of Radha Krishna Lita Vishaka, six Goswamis, Guru, Param Guru, like this, and Panchatattva. That's all. They have pictures. You must be seeing. So in a Gaudiya, the Raghunuga Marg, mostly it's just pictures, and then because it's meditation. Raghunuga Bhakti mostly means meditation. Mala, chanting mala, and meditation on lila, or no mala, and just meditation, absorption, depending on your taste and what your guru recommends, your teachers. So then, if murtis are there, there's Govardhan Shila. Lord Chaitanya gave Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das brought the Shila here. All the Babaji's, you see, mostly they have some Govardhan Shila. Very simple worship. Don't need much. Just have to look at him, offer him some roti. He's happy. Piece of rock candy, a little sweet rock candy. Plus, the altar, and then silver tali, and little cups, and it's all day long scrubbing pots and pans and this and that. He says, you know, open the Govinda Lilamrita, you read about Lila, you chat, you meditate on your sarup. It's simple. Lord Chaitanya did not introduce deity worship. He did not preach deity worship. He preached non-sankirtan. When he gave teachings about Raghunuga Bhakti, he says, Ratri Dine Kunja Kride. So day and night you should meditate on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. Nirantara Nam Lao. Nirantara Nam Lao. He said, without any stop, Nirantara Nam Lao, without any stop, chant Nam. Chant the Nam and meditate. Raghunath Das Goswami is the emperor. He's like the acharya of Raghunuga Bhajan. And he received some shiksha from Lord Chaitanya. He said, live simply. Go to Vrindavan. Stay in Vrindavan. And he said, meditate day and night on the Astakali Lila of Radha and Krishna. And then he gave him this Govardhan Shila. And he said, you can ask Sarva Damodar how to do puja. What is puja? Is 5 minutes puja. But all the we have to make outfits, and we go to buy a different color cloth, and this color cloth for this day and that day, and it becomes a whole separate function. And that Raghunatha Bhakti is difficult because it deals with the mind. the fusion of mind and heart. Fusion of mind, heart, enthusiasm, surrender, visualization, hankering. And everything external is becomes minimized. And it would naturally be that way. It's like you have so many friends, you have this boyfriend, that boyfriend, and all of a sudden you fall in love with one person. And we don't see so-and-so anymore these days. He's not playing cricket, he's not playing basketball. When we call him up, he's busy. Why is he busy? You don't know. He had fell in love. So he's always with, he's ran off with his beloved. Oh, this guy. You write him off, right? So the rag means love. You get attached. When you get attached to the essence, what is the essence of rag bhajan? I just told. And all the stavavali and stavamala, it's all about leela. When will I do this seva in a leela? When will I do that seva in a leela? When will I do this seva? When will I see you like this in a leela? When will you speak like this in a leela? When will I listen to you speak like this? When will I see you like this? I'm in the leela, you're there, I'm serving. What more? It sounds simple, but we get so many extraneous things pulling us like in 100 directions. I have to do this, I have to do that. I imagine you sit down and this, all you have is a book and your mala, and your powers of surrender and your taste. So when you get that taste, you get that love, you get that rag, and automatically all these things drop off. You're not. Oh, I'm going to Vrindavan. I have this long shopping list for my deities. I have to buy so many things for my deities. I have to get incense. I have to get oils. That special shop over there has really good oils. But that shop over there has better incense. No, this is better. So our mind is just dealing in, buying and selling and buying and selling and getting the best quality. Oh, this is really good quality. And then we're losing the quality of our human life. One sadhu told me something very nice. I said, can you, old sadhu, I said, can you give me some advice? And he said, listen to me, and I'm sure you'll fall victim to this also, he told me. I'm sure you will fall victim to this. But he said, I've seen this everywhere with the Vajranandis, the sadhus. They all are telling, I'm just making plans, I'm just arranging everything so I can do bhajan. I'm just arranging everything so I can do bhajan. I'm just making plans so I can do bhajan. I'm just making plans. I'm just making arrangements. I just have to get this and that, and I'm going to do bhajan. Then he dies. And he never does bhajan. This was a sadhu telling about other sadhus, not about grihasthas. I have kids. I have to marry my kids. Right? I have to get save up some money. Whatever practical, realistic things we may have to do in life. He was speaking about renunciates and tyagis. They said, I just have to arrange this and that and I can do bhajan. I thought it was a very prophetic statement, and I even seen in my own life, just getting ready and ready and ready, and then one life goes. Getting ready and ready, one life goes. It's a lack of real rag. If we have rag, rag means attachment, intense attachment, hankering, yearning, desiring in a very special, specific spiritual way, then everything else becomes insignificant and you lose interest in it all. When your interest in one person is very great, like the guy I said, the guy falls in love, his interest is very great in his beloved, his lover. So then his interest in his other friends, it diminishes, it wanes. Or his other thing. Oh, you used to like to play cricket so much. But you're really into it, you want to play day and night. Yeah, but then I discovered, some other thing, and I don't know what happened to you. So what's with so and so? Oh, he's always home reading and meditating. I don't know, useless guy. You know? I don't see him in the festivals anymore. He used to jump around in kirtan, and now he just, you call him up, and he says, "No, I'm meditating." Oh, this is nice. This is very nice. Any more questions?
I have, but it's a little specific.
I mean, as far as some institutions, Jagannath is there, but he came there for his, because if the institution, everything institution is set up for preaching, then everything involved in the institution is about preaching. Even the deities are there for preaching. The deities are preaching also. So Jagannath is not that our goal is to go to Vaikuntha and be in Jagannath's planet, but our goal is to Purushottam Kshetra, which is there in Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Our goal is Radha and Krishna. But now we have Jagannath, he has Bratiyatra because he's preaching. So many people come, and there's big kirtan and big food and prasad distribution and preaching. Practically everything you see, the bottom line comes down preaching, isn't it? Everything is for preaching. But what about for reaching the goal of life? Everyone's preaching, but who's reaching?
They can eat the milk. As Prabhupada says, they can eat the milk.
Boiling the milk.
Boiling the milk.
Yeah. You have to... Forget it, it's not time to boil the milk, it's time to cut the burfi. Boiling the milk was 30 years ago, now let's cut the burfi. Here, you want milk or burfi? So is that batteries going on? Some other question? Anything, don't be afraid of a stupid question. Because I'm not that smart either. So if you ask a smart question, then I'll probably get stuck. So you better ask your stupid question and we may get a reasonable answer.
And stupid questions are...
No, they're acceptable. They're acceptable over here, but if you go down to Jeev Institute or some other places, you'll be thrown out. Because the level of scholarship and accomplishment is quite high. As high as you can go, you can say. Here, we're a little bit on the lower side of things.
Actually, I would like to kind of elaborate in her question, because it's about the dreams again. I had the same thing in my mind that maybe you already answered the question, but I didn't really get the point very clearly. That, I have also this experience that sometimes I'm in the holy place, and I'm really very concentrated and, really, I think I'm really thinking about Krishna more than usually and chanting more and doing more sadhana, having really good association, and I'm really not thinking so much about material things like maybe in the West. And then all of a sudden, I get such a material dream at night, which I thought, I didn't think about this thing for 20 years. I didn't know, even I didn't know those kind of things. And it's coming like, it's like a movie, and then I wake up and I'm totally confused, like, where did this come from? I have this experience, and I also thought, like, as she said, maybe it's some kind of purification, but it sometimes seems so out of blue.
But it's something that you touched in your life.
Yeah,
it's
maybe
a reality. It's
a reality.
Okay, 20 years ago, but you're more than 20, I think so. So it's a reality that you touched. And it's in their recording. That's similar to what I said, but because I heard this also, I don't know, my memory's not so great, but I've heard many times at the time of death, maybe it's there in some Puranas, and that's where the origin of this idea comes from, maybe in Garuda Purana or something. I can't remember specifically reading. I mean, you won't find such a thing in our basic Goswami grants, these type of points, these subtle psychological points of what we're saying, not clearly, obviously, there in the writings of the Goswamis, I can see. Maybe they are, but not to me. But I've heard many times at the time of death, our whole life comes in front of our eyes like a movie reel. Have you ever heard that? Mm-hmm. You know, like you're watching a movie, it's so many little, now it's all digital, but so many digits will go together to make the thing move, scene by scene by scene, you know. Like the person's lifting a cup, so it's, it used to be frame by frame, dot, 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 and then it's moving, so it's a moving picture. Now it's digital, so it's, he's actually, you know, he's lifting a cup to drink water, but this is one digit, there's another digit, there's another. So each digit is like a second of our life. One digit is a second. And all that's in our, stored in our chitta. And it comes by like, it comes by, oh, there's my mother, oh, there's my grandmother, there's my, you know, all the different people. And then, because it's almost, I would say it's analogous to what we have in Shastra, Brihad Bhagavatamritam, of Gopa Kumar. He's going from plane to plane, planet to planet, not even planes or planes of existence. You know, Brahma Loka to Shiva Loka to Vaikuntha to Purushottam Kshetra to Vrindavan to Govardhan to Dwarka. You know, he's going to all these different levels in the universe, from the material planets to the spiritual planets, and finally to Goloka Vrindavan and back to this Brahma Vrindavan. And everywhere he goes, he rejects it. He ultimately rejects it and keeps chanting his Gopal mantra and going higher and higher. He's presented posts and positions everywhere, and all different like Kunta planets and material planets. He can become Indra or Brahma or this that, and he rejects it all because he's going there. So it's almost like we have these dreams, or all our whole life comes before us at the time of death. This experience, that plane of thought, that plane of consciousness, that plane of reality. No, 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 no. Krishna, Krishna. And apparently that's happening. Something like that is really happening. We haven't died that we remember. But we have seen many devotees die. And when they're dying, the devotees around them are usually shouting to them, Prabhu, chant, chant. Because they're just kind of spaced out. I mean, they're just, their eyes are closed, as if they're watching that movie that I told about, their whole lifetime movie. And they were trying to snap them out of that internal absorption, that subtle body, maybe they're even unconscious, and bring them to consciousness by shouting in their ears, because the ear is connected to the consciousness. Eyes are closed, mouth, hands. Hare Krishna, and this person, and then they come out. You see, they were deep unconscious, and they start coming conscious, and maybe withdrawing from that movie they're seeing. Can't say, no one's died and come back and told. I think that's that. Why that happens in the Holy Dham, maybe happens even more. That experience is that the Holy Dham itself gives 100 times. Boon and benefit and boosting to all of our activities we're doing. So our chanting is 100 times more beneficial, our prayers, our parikamas, our sadhusanga, everything. This is told. And there's nowhere told, where it's told, I read it and I was told where it was, I have in my notes. But nowhere is it told you get 100 times the reaction for offenses. That's not told. That's many people say that, oh, in the Holy Dham it's like gambling, you can win or you can lose. You get 100 times the reaction for your offenses. That's not written anywhere. And Vaitya told me that. And he cited the verse where it's written that you get 100 times the benefit. So Dham, Nam Rup Gun Leela Parishishta, Dham Parishishta, all these things, Parishishta, the associates of the Lord, the holy abode of the Lord, the form of the Lord, the name of the Lord, qualities of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, Nam Rup Gun Leela Parishishta Dham. They're all transcendental. They're all teachers. They're all teaching us. The Nam is teaching us. Nam is Krishna. Right? Attack Sri Krishna, Namadi Nabhavadgrim. No, what did it say? Namachintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigra, Purna Shura Nitya Mukta, Binatvam Namanamano. Binatvam. You, Twam, you, Krishna, Bina, difference. There's no difference between you, Krishna, and your name. You, Krishna, the person, and your name, Krishna. There's no Krishna. There's no difference between the Dham and Krishna. So when you're in the holy Dham and you're doing bhakti bhajan, then Krishna, and he comes and says, "Oh, this person is very nice, very sincere." Now the Dham comes inside you and effects 100 times purification. So the Dham, Krishna comes inside of you as the Dham, in the form of the holy Dham, and he looks around for all things that are bad, like you have a flu or the cold, and you take some kind of allopathic medicine, and then the medicine goes around in your bloodstream and kills all the bad guys, the germs or whatever, bacteria, viral or bacteria, whatever it is. You become better. So you're having an experience that goes inside your chitta and says, hey look, you know, what about this? You forgot about this. Because better you deal with it now, because you're conscious, you can analyze it, you can reject it, you can think about what it all meant and where you were hung up there. Now throw it. Because if this comes at the time of death, you won't have much power. You won't have much power because there's so much. Now you just had a dream, you're physically okay, and you're quite fit, and you can wake up and be consciously thoughtful about it, and then just say, oh, that's because of this and this and that. Krishna, out, you know. Throw that reel away. Throw that CD, whatever that movie is. Throw it out. Throw that UBS, whatever it is. Throw it out. Because at the time of death, there's so much physical pain of the Atma leaving the body, you can't even think straight. Can't analyze, can't think straight. He's just, screaming in pain. Death throes. So it's very hard to do any cleaning work at that time. Wherever you're attached most, that will take you to your next body. Sadatad Bhava Bhavitaha. Sadatad Bhava Bhavitaha. Krishna says in the 8th chapter of Gita, Yam Yam Vapi Saran Bhavam Tyajit Yanti Kalevaram. It says, Tam Tam Veti Kuntiya Sadatad Bhava Bhavitaha. Whatever bhava, sadabhav, whatever feelings we're always cultivating, sada, day after day, week after week, that'll come at the time of death and capture our consciousness and carry us to our next life. This is verses about dying. 8th chapter of Gita, verse number 6. So that time, so Krishna is being very kind by showing these things now. I would see it like that. It's kripa. Dham kripa, guru kripa, Vaishnava kripa, Nam kripa. Kripa Dham, Kripa Patra. They say Kripa Patra. Patra means recipient. Recipient of the Kripa. Devotee's super soul becomes congenial, becomes affectionate to the devotee. Krishna says, he says that he's, as you surrender unto him, I reward you accordingly. Chapter 4, verse 11, Bhagavad Gita, right? Yeyatam mam prapadyante tam satai vibhajamyam. So as we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna's nearest representative is the Paramatma, the Super Soul. So in the second canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying, I'm sitting inside of you. I'm purifying you from within. And I come out of you. I appear outside of you as Guru. And I purify you out as Guru. And I purify you from within. The verse is in the second canto. Maybe first canto, I don't know. Srimatam swa kata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantaksta yubhadrani virunati saritsatam. Krishna says, I'm sitting in the heart, I'm sitting in your heart. Srimatam swa kata Krishna punya shravana kirtana. When you become eager to hear my harikata, Srimatam, then I, from inside your heart, virunati sarit, sarit satam. I'm inside your heart, I clean your heart. So when you talk about chitta, man, chitta, riddhi, you talk about the mind, the consciousness, the heart, it's basically one. So when you're having this dream, and you're fully identifying consciously, when you're awake, as a devotee, fully engaged in bhakti bhajan, living in a holy dham, having very good sattva sangha and very good experiences and feeling very peaceful, pure, clean and transcendentally situated, and then some random dream comes and you're taken for a ride. So then that comes, and then Krishna, he, right at that point, if you enter that dream as your spiritual identity, and right inside there you reject it, then Krishna's in your heart as super soul, he cleans. Because he says, I cleanse the desire for material enjoyment. Yes, that's why I put, yes, right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, 17. The Krishna says that he's Riddhi Antasto. Riddhi means heart, and Anta means inside. Sto means like Lila Stali, place, situated. Abhadra. Bhadra means auspicious, Subhadra. Abhadra means anything inauspicious. Virunoti says he cleanses. So this is, when you're talking about dreaming, you're talking about something subtle inside your brain, inside your mind. And then when you talk about the super soul, you're talking about something subtle inside your heart, the Paramatma. So this dream is going on, and Krishna says, oh, you're my devotee? I show you this thing. Then when you wake up, so that already in the dream, maybe if you're identifying as a devotee, you say, what is this? Grandmother, you get lost, you know? whoever it was. So then, if not there, you can cleanse it and remove it. When you wake up, you analyze, and then you pray to Krishna, as I mentioned to her, and then Krishna, that same Krishna in the heart will say, okay, I gave you your examination last night, and you were just kind of neutral about it. You didn't reject it, you didn't accept it. So now that you've thought about it, when you woke up, now you're rejecting it. So you're praying, Krishna, you're there. It happened inside of me. The dream is inside of me, and you're inside of me. So take that, what's bad inside of me, out of me. Cleanse it, throw it out. You follow? So I see that as the way it's working. And my own experience is like that. They oftentimes when people come to Holy Dawn, they when you go back to the West, they say, how was your trip? How was your yatra? Oh, very purifying. Usually people say, very purifying. What happened? Oh, I got sick and this and that, and I got my ego stepped on, and many things happened. I think so. Because I've been living here for a while, and I've had many things happen. But they have to happen. And when they happen in the Holy Dham, it's very nice. Because then you really, because the Holy Dham is Radha and Krishna. So if something happens to you bad in the West, and then you come out of it, you become successful, overcome that difficulty, then you feel, okay, the mercy of God came and to help me restore my good position or good feeling. But here, because this is Radha and Krishna's Dham, we feel directly Radha and Krishna have helped me and are helping me. Because we're always living with Radha and Krishna. It's clear, they're here. But whether they're in America or Germany or wherever we hail from, we don't know. It's not so clear. But generally we say that Krishna lives in the Holy Dham. I think we should stop dreaming now. And we can ask some conscious questions. But that's a big part of the life, maybe 8 hours a day.
One small question about the Holy Dham. The Holy Dham is eternally, and you have you saw actually that Radha and Krishna is everywhere here, but sometimes we hear, especially in Kali Yuga, it will be more and more covered. And sometimes I heard also that the lotus of Raj on Bhumi, they will close. And is it a question?
The lotus of Navadvipa blossom.
yes, that's saying. And my
probably
question
that was
is,
written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, promoting Mayapur. So.
My question is this. Is it a question about your consciousness or where you trust in, or maybe you can say something about that?
I mean, the physical appearance, what we saw physical, tangible in front of our eyes, Vrindavan, that we see today, certainly looks different than 500 years ago. Only 80 years ago, will you believe? I can't believe. 80 years ago, from where I'm sitting, all the way from here down to Basanti Gram, which is where the road kind of goes like that. You know, it goes up over some whatever river or something, a canal or something. River, canal. It's about 2 or 3 kilometers. This whole flat area, which is all fields now, wheat and chickpeas, it was all kadamba trees. A huge forest of kadamba trees. And kadamba trees, are they go around this big around, and they go about 30 meters tall. Big, and a big yellow flower, you know, beautiful kadamba flowers. And it was so, and because I met old people from the village, they said, yeah, we used to go in there and play. It was so dark you couldn't see the sun in the midday. Wow. So many trees, like a forest. 80 years ago, people living in this gown, you talk about change, you say, oh, there's new buildings, a wide road, big high-rise buildings we see in Vrindavan. Yeah, I'm here 28 years. But that's a major, major physical change of the topography. It's like, oh, it's from wide as you can see all the way down, and it all just tut, 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 tut. You know, you can't make much money with a kadamba tree, but if you cut 100 of them down and you have all one big or one big of land, you grow wheat. You know. So the physical Vrindavan is changing and changing and changing. It's just like we're on the roof looking over the roof, and someone's the next door, they're digging the ground to do some make a water tank, and that ground next door is all landfill. It's basically what that ashram was built on was all dirt from the street. When they sweep the street, they would dump all the stuff. The guys go to these little steel wagons and they dump somewhere. It was like a dumping ground. So they've dug into that what appeared to be earth, Mother Earth. They've gone down about 10 feet, and all like a cake. You cut a cake like this, and there's icing and all the way down from the surface, all the way down 10 feet. There's plastic bags, millions on all four sides of the earth. Plastic bags. All the way down 10 feet. I can show you in the room. Not very scenic. not kadamba trees. And he was joking. He was saying, this is amazing. And that future people will settle, you know, they'll do archaeological digs, you know. They'll dig in the grounds and they'll dig down. Because like we dig in the ground, we find copper artifacts from the Incas, or, you know, previous civilizations of 10,000 years ago, whatever they speculate. They find copper, the Copper Age, and the Gold Age, and the Iron Age, as they go down in the ground. So here, people say, oh, this was the Plastic Age. Everything was plastic. And then they dig in the ground, they'll find some plastic chair, you know, that's still there for 3 million years, because it doesn't disintegrate. They'll pull it out and say, wow, what is this, you know? And then they'll go down deeper, and they go another 500 feet, and they pull out a, you know, a silver chair from a previous age when they had silver. That's so ridiculous. So Vrindavan is it's physically changed a lot, but the lotus. It says in the shastras that Vrindavan, the Braj Mandal, is a fully blossomed lotus. And it's sitting on this whole, above this whole material world. This is everywhere, even in Bhavatan. So when there's pralaya and the entire material universe is devastated and so much burning and flooding, then like you have a big lake, there may be a vast lake, but the lotus flower is not wet. The stem, of course, is in the mud on the bottom. But the lotus flower is bright in the sunshine, untouched by the waters. Pure, beautiful, attractive, fragrant, colorful, beautiful design. So that's Vrindavan. It's eternal. It's a transcendental dham. It's a transcendental, eternally expanded lotus, and it's situated in the material world, like a beautiful pink lotus in the middle of a black lake. So it doesn't get shriveled up. It doesn't get closed in Kali Yuga. It's always transcendental. It's transcendental to all yugas. It's transcendental to creation. We're talking about yugas. You're talking about, oh yeah, and Satyuga was really blossomed when Krishna, and Dwapara Yuga was really opened up, and now it's all closed up. No, it's not. Because you mentioned the lotus part. This part I want to clear. The lotus is always as far as Krishna's lila and facilitating his movements from here and there, then for 1 second it closes, but the actual lotus of Braj, Kali Yuga has nothing to do. Just like Ravana couldn't touch Sita, when he went to steal Sita, Agni took the real Sita and gave a Maya Sita. Because the material energy is not stronger than the spiritual energy. Otherwise there's no hope. Why do bhakti? It's the ingress of spiritual energy. Spiritual energy comes into us when the Chit Shakti and the Chit Shakti and the Chit Shakti and Ladini Shakti, the bhakti, the potency of devotion and transcendental knowledge come inside of us by the mercy of Guru, then we get spiritual strength and taste for devotion. Those are transcendental. Bhakti is totally transcendental. It has nothing to do with the material energy, nothing to do with anything in this world. And that's why we can get out of this world by bhakti and get liberated by devotion, because it's transcendental and it takes us out of the material world. So the material world cannot even touch bhakti. What to speak of the holy Dham? Kali Yuga is, oh, Kali Yuga is here. Oh, Kali Yuga. Oh, and Vrindavan becomes so. Oh. But when Kali Yuga is not here, I'm afraid of Kali. Vrindavan is completely unaffected. Sometimes they say there's a mayak covering, but mayak covering is always there. It's called calm, crowd, low, moha, matsarya. The covering is on our eyes, you know. Like we say, eyes have we and see not, ears have we and hear not, minds have we and think not, lives we have and use not. This is my little thing. So the Dham is, if we have Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochena Santaksa Devara Yeshu Vilopihanti Yam Shamasundra, if we have eyes of love, we see Shamasundra under every tree. Are we seeing? So it's the Dham's fault, it's Kali Yuga's fault, it's my fault. It's like someone, so the blind man, the wife comes in, but the husband's blind. Where are you? I'm right here. Oh, I don't see you. No, I'm right in front of you. No, I don't see you. You're not in front of me. I don't see you. I'm right in front of you. How do I know you're there? I'm speaking to you. You hear me? So Krishna's right in front of our eyes, but we're blind. Krishna, I'm in Vrindavan, I don't see you. I'm right here. No, I don't see. Where are you? You hear my voice? Yeah. So whose fault is this? His fault or our fault? The lotus is fully blossomed. He's fully here. He's having his lila. And his chit deha, his chinmaya deha, his spiritual body. And we have our spiritual body. Then we have lilas with the Lord. You read about Pishi Mama and her having her lilas with her Gauranitaya deities and Brajke Bhakta and they're naughty and she dresses them and then they run off the altar and hide somewhere and she has to chase her Gauranitaya because she's like in motherly bob. Hey, you boys, come back. Put them on the altar. I said, what do you mean? They're just Murtis. How is it they're running around your house? And they are. They're very naughty boys. Only with her they're playing pastimes. Or, you know, Ronald Dixon and his Yashoda Ma, his guru, and she had a Gopal deity and, you know, it's... For the Premi Bhaktas, and Krishna plays like this. And the Dham. These stories, we hear of saints of Braj and saints of Bengal and saints of the... Bengal means Navadvip, pretty much, or Bengali saints in Navadvip or whatever. This is the place of Krishna's lila. Nitya lila. Yeah, the air is hard to breathe, the water is hard to drink, Yamuna doesn't flow in Vrindavan anymore. This is all true. There's no Yamuna there, it's all just runoff from different sewers. Air is polluted like anything. But this is the place where you'll have darshan of Krishna. Here. You can go to so many beautiful, pristine, beautiful, pure places in Switzerland or anywhere. Great air, great prana, you can breathe like anything and do pranayama and yoga or anything. fly in the sky with mystic cities. But he won't see Krishna. He just won't come there. Even if you try, look, Krishna, please, I'm trying to see you. I'm not coming there. You want to see me, come to my house. Don't sit in the Swiss Alps and meditate and expect to see me. You won't see me. You come here, I'll show you. If you come here and surrender to my Dham, surrendering to the Dham means surrendering to Krishna. I swear, I tell the truth. Smile, it's okay. She's very sober. Are you Russian? She must be Russian. Russians are like this. Yeah, you don't know English, which is okay. It's my fault. I don't know English. Usually Russians are. And everyone's rolling on the ground laughing. It's nice, like a foil, you know, a counterbalance. You know. No, oh my. Pranavala. Vali. Look at you 10 Glutterman's. What's your secret? Why are you always smiling? Right? Why is this guy always smiling? He ate 10 Glutterman's or what? You know? You don't smile so much. I don't smile so much. Okay. No questions? Not sure. I think it's 6 o'clock, I feel like it.
5:30.
Oh. Okay. Yes?
We have always been told that Gauranitai is the gateway to Radha Krishna.
Gauranitai is?
Yeah. Gateway to Krishna.
Gateway to Krishna.
Yeah, that's we through them we understand Krishna. And how is it in Advaita Parivar? Because Nityananda is not as like a focal point.
Yeah. Well, the question is about for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, what is the role of the Panchatattva or Gauranitai in relation to the attaining perfection of Radha and Krishna Prema, which is what Lord Chaitanya came to give and what Lord Chaitanya gave him to teach, and what Lord Chaitanya was experiencing regularly in his own spurtis and Leela Pravesha's from his example of his life. So different acharyas, I don't know if it's specific to a parivar or whether it's the emphasis of particular acharyas within a parivar. The point is, yes, the Lord Chaitanya, we require, Narottam Das Thakur writes, that in one bhajan, he says that Gaura Rasa Narnava, Arnava means ocean. From the ocean of Gaura Ras, one enters the ocean of Gaura Ras, then he comes out on the shore of Radha Krishna's Nitya Leela Pravashila. Nitya Leela Pravashila. Pravashila means pravesh, you know, Griha Pravesh or Mandir Pravesh means to enter into. So now how that, so the principle is Gauranitai, let's say Gauranitai, their role in it for the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sadhaka, their role in bringing one to the goal of Radha Krishna Prema. Prema Krishna Prema Pamartha Mahan. Lord Chaitanya preached the goal is Goloka Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya preached the goal is to worship Radha and Krishna, and especially Radharani and Manjari Bhav. So, and the process is Nam Bhajan, Vaidhi Sadhana, Raghunuga Sadhana, Manjari Sarup, etc., all these things. Now some acharyas, they emphasize very much Gauranitai and puja and many different things. Now the what I received from my spiritual master and what is the teachings of the Six Goswamis is that they before, if you can see in the writings of Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Bhagavat of course is mostly about Lord Chaitanya, but they'll have some, or say Govinda Leelamrita, there's some invocatory prayer some Mangalacharna to Gauranga, to Nityananda, maybe all the Panchatattva, they will offer a prayer, a shloka, a verse in glorification of them, and then they will begin to tell the chapter. And the chapter may be all about Lord Chaitanya's experiencing like an Antilila, practically the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya is in Brajabhav. He's in Radhabhav, Radha's Mahabhav. And he's experiencing the pastimes, Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela of Radha and Krishna. Especially Krishna from the mood of Radharani. So there's not... So this is what our Goswami's teachers, Rupa Goswami, Nectar Devotion. Everywhere there's some prayer to Lord Chaitanya, then a whole discussion about Radha and Krishna Tattva. Ujjala Neelamani. Ujjala Neelamani. It begins with one or two prayers about Lord Chaitanya. Stavavali. Savavali is one or two prayers, Lord Chaitanya and Guru Varg, and Savamala. But then the whole book, which is one of the main books of Raghunath Bhakti, is all about Radharani and her seva, because this is Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So in other words, the actual bhajan, the bhajan is 90. If you want to use percentages, is not the basic bhajan, which is coming from the six Goswamis, is 95% Radha Krishna bhajan, 5%. Gornitai. To that extent, that is what they show by their example, and that's what, and so some acharyas, they say this is sufficient. And there is now it's in the last 100 or 200 years, say since 1860s and 1960s, that's 150, hardly 200 years, not even 200 years. But then Siddha Krishnas, who wrote this, where is it? Just had it here. Gutika in Hindi, it's in Bengali and now in Hindi. Gorgovinda Lilamrita Gutika. He had some sporty of Radharani, and that's accepted. Many people believe that and accept that. And that he should bring out the parallel Astakali Lila of Lord Gauranga. So this was a new introduction. So many of the teachers in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, they kind of incorporated that into their bhajan and into their presentation to their disciples, that we should meditate on Gaura Leela. But this is not the teachings of the six Goswamis. It's not. You can see clearly in our books. They don't have entire... The whole Ujjala Neelamani is all about Madhurya Bhav. It's all about Radha and Krishna and how to understand the whole spiritual world of Vrindavan in terms of all the rasas and relationships and nayakas and sakis and all these things, and Sakhi Bhav, Madhurya Bhav, Mandri Bhav. And there's one verse. It's like 3,000 verses. There's two verses about Lord Gauranga. So you can see where's the weight. The weight, the emphasis. So what I've received, what Srila Prabhupada himself has taught us, maybe we sing some bhajans glorifying Lord Chaitanya, and we pray for his mercy. Or maybe we worship a deity of Mahaprabhu, maybe not. But if we only have Radha and Krishna deities, or we only have a Govardhan Srila, a Radha and Krishna, that's fine. And we offer some prayers to Lord Chaitanya. Or there's some brief description of Lord Chaitanya's Astakali Leela. For example, I'm not sure the time period, but Siddha Krishnas wrote a book called Bhavanasara Sangraha. And then later, or maybe same time, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see the timing, dates. But then he also wrote a book, Gaura Govinda Leelamrita Gutika, which is combining both. So there's even that, even the Gutika has like 20 verses about Lord Chaitanya's Madhyan Leela and 100 verses about Radha Krishna. So many more, 200. So many more, even in that Gutika. But if you look at Bhavanasara Sangra, he just has a small paragraph. He has an introductory paragraph about Lord Chaitanya's Madhyan Leela, Pratak Leela, Purvan Leela, Madhyan Leela, like this. And then long quotations from Krishna Bhavanamrita, Krishna Eka Kumudi, Govinda Leelamrita, about the Astakali Leela. So it's very clear from even the Gutika that the emphasis is more on Radha and Krishna Leela. And our Prabhupada, he didn't really teach so much specifics about Raghunatha Bhajan per se directly. But the general thrust or teachings of Srila Prabhupada, I think I'm correct to say the emphasis was on Radha and Krishna worship. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. He begins every class he gives, he sings Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavallabha Girivarit. So it's all about Giriraj, Radhan Krishna, and the Kunja Leela of Radhan Krishna. And if he was a total Gaur Bhakta or Nittai Bhakta, he would sing, he would begin his class with some Nittai Gaur Sitanath, and you know, whatever. I don't see that. And Prabhupada was, you know, he traveled around the world, deities of Radha and Krishna. So this is what I can't speak for the entire Advaita Parivar, because there's so many different branches within everywhere. And even Nityananda Parivar is so vast, and what the different teachers and acharyas emphasize or teach, I don't think you can say any consensus that Nityananda Parivar teaches this, and I don't see that that's feasible to say. I think it depends on the acharya, what he presents to his disciple, and then the disciple will follow that bhajan and that line of thought given by the guru. But for my own experience, my own guru, for example, he said that our goal is to be a Manjari and Goloka Vrindavan. So we emphasize all about that. We need the mercy. We have mantras to the Panchatattva. We worship them by mantra. We chant kirtan. How do you worship Lord Chaitanya? By doing sankirtan. Just like Giriraj, they asked Giriraj when they did the Govardhan Puja Anukut 5,000 years ago. He said, "Oh Giriraj Baba, what is the best way to please you? We gave you this big feast." Because if you ask the Brahmins today in Vrindavan, what's the best way to please Giriraj? Chapan bhog! They offer big chapan, means 56. 56 chapan, it means it's a number, it's a Hindi number. 56 means chapan. Chalis, chapan, asi, and all this. So chapan. It's pachas is 50, then panch is 5, so chapan, it becomes like that. 50, anyway, che is 6, chapan, 56. So they say like that, but when at that time, when a large form of Krishna, when little Krishna asked, "Oh, Giriraj Baba, what is the best way to please you?" Then Giriraj said, "Anyone who does my parikrama, I am most pleased by anyone who does my parikrama." So that's why so many Brijvasis and Rajasthani Walas, they're always every Amavasi, Kadasi, Purnima, they're just going around the Govardhan. Dandabats, ladies, kids, grandma, everybody, the whole 10 generations, you know. The kids is blong, he's doing Dandabats, and the old guy is doing it. It's very touching. Very heart touching. So much bhakti, Govardhan, Giriraj Krishna bhakti. So he told like that, just a little bit. So I asked, I said, "How about Krishna Bhavanamrita?" Because I published that. Because I really understood that, and that was what I understood from my studies of the Goswami's writings, that this heavy emphasis on, you know, Gauranga worship and puja was not really what was being taught. Because that shloka is there, and by Vaitacharya's disciple, Srinath Chakravarti, which is not much understood, I mean, or even spoken much, although it's in Prabhupada's Shloka book also. Aradya Bhagavan Brajesha Taniyas, Sridham Vrindavanam. You know that verse? Aradya, it's not even here. Is it possible? R-A-D-H. R-A-D-H. Aradya. Yeah, here it is. 172. Here it's attributed to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, but it's not correct. It's written by Srin, because Vishnu only lived a few hundred years ago. This verse was written at the time of Lord Chaitanya by an associate of Lord Chaitanya. His name was Srinath Chakravarti. So somehow it became attributed to Vishnu. It's in Prabhupada's Shloka book also. You can look it up. Aradya. A-R-A-D. Like Radha. Aradha. Look in the back. Look here in the back. This is the verse index. You see. Let's follow this thing here. I cut out. Let's follow this thing. Aradya Bhagavan Brajeshatanyas Shridam Vrindavanam Ramya Kachit Upasana Brajavadu Vargena Yakalpitan Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumartamahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matam Idam Tatradara Naparaha. Is there? A-R-A-D-H. Aradya, it's there. It basically says that Bhagavan Krishna, Brajendra Nandan, is our only worshipable object. Aradya Dev. Who is our Aradya? Aradhana means puja. Our Ishta Dev. Bhagavan, he's our only worshipable object. In the same way that he is worshipped, his abode, Vrindavan, is also worshipable. How to worship Krishna? We should worship Krishna in the mood of the young married gopis of Braj, especially Radharani. This is the highest form of love of God. Srimad Bhagavatam is the proof for this type of puja and this type of goal. Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the teachings of Mahaprabhu. And this Siddhanta and conclusion is what we believe in, and there's no other one. So that's clear. Yeah. Thanks. There's another translation. Brajendra Nandan is worshipped along with this transcendental abode, Vrindavan. The most pleasing form of worship for Krishna is that performed by the Brajagopis. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless authority, Amala, Amalam Pramanam, on everything, and pure love of God, Prema Pumartamahan, is the ultimate goal of life for all men. These statements, for which we have the highest respect and regard, are the belief and opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya himself said, this is it. So to worship Lord Chaitanya, how are you worshiping the Panchatattva? How are you pleasing Lord Chaitanya? Because I'm worshiping Radha Krishna in Rag Marg. And that's because that's what he wanted. So if I'm doing what you want, will you be happy? If I am doing what you want, will you not be happy? Yes. If you say, I say do these five things. And then you say, well, if I do those five things, will you be happy? And you say, yeah. So then you do them. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, worship Krishna and Radha, live in Vrindavan. Oh, you're not worshipping Panchatattva, you know. Worshipping means what? Yeah, it means pleasing them. Pleasing means carrying out their orders. So the Bhavanasara Sangra just has a brief description, and then the rest of it is Krishna's Leela. So I said, is that sufficient? He said, that's sufficient. He said, the main book is Govinda Leelamrita. You can also read the Bhavanasaras. So, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Koriyaikya. Simple. And I don't see Prabhupada taught any differently. I don't see any lopsided emphasis on, you know, Asakali Leela of Gauranga, or Prabhupada talking about a spiritual body and Gaur Leela. I don't see any mention of that anywhere. So go. You said Krishna in the Krishna book, Prabhupada writes, you can dance with Krishna, you can eat with Krishna, you can kiss Krishna. So he's talking about Krishna. Krishna's our goal. I think that's pretty clear. But nowadays, I know some Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they really emphasize Gaur Nitai. I know other Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they really emphasize Nitai, just totally Nitai, Jai Nitai. Nothing wrong, that's good. Because we're so fallen, we're worse than Jagai and Madai, so we better just start with Nitai and work our way up. Can't deny that. If that's what your guru emphasizes, as long as he tells you what is the goal. Okay, I'm praying for the mercy of Lord Nityananda. I'm visiting Ekachakra, which I've done 3 or 4 times. And I believe that if you follow the... Like when you read a book, you open it up and you read every chapter, beginning every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. The whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is about Radha and Krishna. From Adi 4, from the beginning all the way to the end, it's about Radha and Krishna. But every chapter begins with, you know, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. There's a prayer to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar, etc. Isn't it? Why? Because without their mercy, you won't be able to get anything from this chapter. So we firmly believe that. So these prayers are there. Stavavali is the highest book of Raghunuga Bhakti, the collection of poems of Raghunath Das. That this is the ultimate handbook of Raghunuga Bhakti. And if, especially if there's commentaries are there to understand it more, and even contemporary or even additional commentaries by other devotees can learn even more and get more deeper into the verses presented there. It's all about the bhava of the gopis and the bhava of the mantris and the seva and Radha Krishna's, especially Radharani's glories. She's the Ishtadev. The Ishtadevata of the Gaudiyas is Radharani especially, and Radha Krishna Yugo. But even there is prayers to Lord Gauranga, Chaitanya. Very beautiful prayers. Something else?
Very short question and practical again. You mentioned, this is again like a technical question, that you mentioned also about the Dandavat Parikram. Is there anywhere in Shastra mentioned, or where does start this tradition of Dandavat Parikram?
Dandavat Parikram. I just think I was. The question is about the tradition of doing Dandavat Parikrama of Radhakund or
Shastra. I mean, like Chaitanya Charitamrita or somewhere, everywhere, Govardhan Parikrama is mentioned many places, but.
Well, basically, we do. What we see is this. Rupa Goswami is telling us in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Jiva Goswami and Vishnu are giving commentaries there, which are in English also. Seva Sadaka Rupena, Sirupena Chatrahi. He's saying, Seva Sadaka Rupena. In our Sadaka Rup, this form that we have now, we're chanting and serving, hearing and chanting and serving Guru, Vaishnava, Hari. Then our Siddha Rup, our Antas Chintadeya, our mentally conceived, our spiritual body, Siddha Sarup. We're doing Manasi Seva, meditative service, or we're trying to think of the Leelas and do Seva there. Think of the Sevas and hankering for those Sevas and praying for those Sevas. That's in our Seva Sadhaka Rupi. So our Seva Rup, you know, on our Siddha Rup, I should say. Siddha Rup. Seva Sadhaka Rupena, Siddha Rupena. Sadhaka Rup, Siddha Rup. So when we, and that, where it says Sadhaka Rup, so then that's all it says in our Sadhaka Rup. So now in the commentaries it says Sadhaka Rup means as we follow Rupa Mandri in our Siddhadeya or Siddhasarup, we should follow Rupa Goswami and the six Goswamis in our Sadhaka Rup. How they acted as Sadhakas, we should act. And so what did they do? So then we read their biographies, then we read descriptions, and Auntie Lila Lord Chaitanya told Rupa and Sanatana, you go to Vrindavan, you write Bhakti Shastras, you uncover the lost deities, you establish deity worship, you preach the Bhakti Siddhanta, the Bhakti Tattva. He gave them these four services. So they did those services in their Sadhaka Rup. Established temples, and they wrote books, and they preached Bhakti, and like that. And then we see the prayer by Sri Nivas Acharya, Six Goswami Astakam. And he, of course, lived with Jiva Goswami, and he lived with he's seen Raghunath Bhatta, he's seen a few of the Goswamis. So he wrote, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi Kalava Sanikrito Nidrahar Vihara Kali Vijato Chidyanta Jino Chayo Radha Krishna Gunasmritir Madhurima Nandena Samhoito Vande Rupa Sanatana Ruguya Gosri Jiva Gopalako. So there it's describing what did they do in their Sadhaka Rup and their Siddha Rup. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi. The last word, Natibi, Natibi means offering dandavats. So, generally we hear the description of Charitra, biography of Raghunath Das, that he, in front of his kutir, he offered 1,000 obeisances to the devotees and 2,000 to different Leela Stalis, or so many thousands of dandavats he would offer. So that's meaning of the word dandavat, nati means dandavats, so he's offering dandavats and generally told in that way. But since it says nati, then we also hear that in the life story of Sanatana Goswami, and this is in Bhakti Ratnakar and other authorized books of his biography, he was living in Chakaleshwara in Manasiganga. He had a kutir there. And because according to the Brajke Bhakta by Narayan Bhatta Goswami, who lived about the same time, and other Puranas, it describes that Giriraj Parikrama should be done in a particular way. Take bath in Manasiganga first, then take darshan of Haridev, and then you do Parikrama. So he was doing Parikrama every day. So he was doing walking Parikrama. So somehow, I don't know where, we don't see, I haven't seen any description of the six Goswamis doing Dandavat Parikrama, but I haven't seen anything that says you can't do it. So when someone stops someone doing it and says, oh, this is not our tradition, we shouldn't do this, you can't really say that exactly, because it's just like some groups, they argue that you shouldn't chant Hare Krishna and Kirtan. Right? They argue. But there's no statements that say that you shouldn't. You may find statements where Lord Chaitanya is only chanting Hare Krishna on his fingers, but in Kirtan he was chanting Hari Haraya Nama Krishna, whatever. But there's no statements that say there's no prohibition that you can't. So if it says nati means they're offering dandabhats, they maybe have extended that dandabhats to also include, that can mean that they're doing dandabhats of Govardhan or Radhakund and Shamakund or Vrindavan. Many do. But you can't say, there's no shastra that says you can't do it. So then, if someone is preaching, he should preach on the basis and strength of shastra. Or he should say, if someone says, you know, it's not our tradition of Dandavat Parikrama, you can't say that, because I've seen in the last, you know, 40 years, so many Gaudiyas doing Dandavat Parikrama. Hundreds have done. So tradition means what you've seen, what's gone. So that means it's been going on for a long time. And so you can say, you really can't say. You can say, oh, he's doing that. I didn't get that from my guru, and I don't understand the shastras like that, and I haven't read that. But to check someone, I wouldn't do that. Because someone might say, there's no prohibition in shastra that says I can't do dandavats. So why? What's wrong with it? It says here he was offering dandavats. So then, it doesn't say anything more than nativi, which means dandavats. So was he doing dandavats head to foot, or in one place? Generally, we read it, he was just, you've done dandavats? I did also. I did dandavat Parikrama Vrindavan, Hare Krishna's blessings. And I did 5-6 times Radhakund.
I was just curious. I don't have any position or opposition. I was just, because it feels good, but I don't see any. Yeah, I was wondering if there is some.
I would just say that we can say that Das, you know, the charitras of Das Goswami, they generally say, you must have read that he offered 3,000 dandavats a day, or some phenomenal number. 2,000 to Vaishnavas and 1,000 to Leela Stalis, okay, Chandra Sarovar or whatever, you know, Vamshivat or, you know, Ramgat or Vamshivat, you know, in front of his kutir. So that's there, and that's Praman, that Bhajan Srinivas and the biography that he offered dandavats, it's there, written dandavats in Bhakti Ratnakara. Now, if someone wants to extend that, okay, he had a kutir, I don't have any kutir. So I'm just offering. I'm not offering mine in one place. I'm offering dandavats. So what's the difference between offering dandavats here, in one place, or you move 5 feet each time? You're lying on the ground and your body's stretched out, and it's dandavats. Oh, you can do this. You can lie in one place, but you can't lie in two places. Is there any logic to that? So that's why there's nowhere it says no Gaudiya Vaishnava should ever offer dandavats anywhere at any time. I don't see that. So if someone, you know, is walking on Govardhan Farikava, and that's what he likes to do, and that's his niyam, that's well and good. But if someone else is, another Gaudiya is doing Dandavat Parikrama, what's the point of checking him? Where's your praman? Way to agree, they said you can't. It's like, I like this, what I just came out, the logic. Well, it's okay to lie from, but if I lie, and it's practical also, if I lie 3,000 times in front of my kutir, pretty soon all the dirt's going to walk, you know, it's going to be a big hole there. When it rains, there'll be a big mud puddle in front of my kutir, you know, drops of water wear away stones. I keep lying and lying and lying, and then I know one devotee, I thought it was really clever, when I was doing Dandavat Parikrama Vrindavan, someone in front of me, or no, another time, I was just doing walking, I saw, in the middle, I saw like where someone was lying, and then it looked like lotus flowers designed in sand all the way around the Parikrama Marg. Because I was staying right at Radha-damodar in Prabhupada's rooms. It was like 1989 or 1990. I lived 3 years there in the Damodar Mandir in Prabhupada's kitchen, and I was looking at it. It was like a lotus, looked like a lotus flower, like a bud of a lotus flower, you know, like a bud like this, you know, like a lotus bud. And then there was another one, like a garland of just closed, you know, buds of lotus, like the closed flower, like you see, like this. But it was obvious that someone was lying doing dandavats, and then they were taking their hands, and they were making it like this, and there was sand. Oh, by the way, in 1989-90, there was sand, all the way from, like, the Krishna Balamchi, that little part near Dhanuka Ashram, and from, you know, from the that Chetikar Road down into the, that part, maybe that was bricks. But right after that, Madhavan Colony, where it starts Wholesome Food Shop and all that, from there, all the way to Keshigat was sand. And then Keshigat is all bricks and everything. You got to go up, lying on the bricks, and go through the Keshigat like that. Steps, going up and down the steps, like slinking along. And then when you came out of there, from that back part of the sand, all the way around to right near the temple was sand. It was all sand. And trees on either side, and fruit orchards, and bear trees, these little tiny bear fruits, a little kind of green, they turn kind of orangey brown like that. Many parrots, many peacocks, and many mosquitoes too at night. I remember I would go after a service in the evening time, and I don't know when it was, kind of warm or whatever. And I just had my dhoti, I didn't have any shirt, because I'm not supposed to wear a shirt, at least men. So then I was lying, and I got down there, there's a back stretch, and so many mosquitoes, I was going so fast. Because I thought if I keep going fast, I don't have enough time to land on me, so it was going like this. I was younger too, so I felt great. I remember once I was going through, you know, I started from way up Krishna Balamchi or whatever, and then I got through Keshigat. I was going through Keshigat, and I was lying there in some part after the steps. There was like a little area, then it goes down to across the road and then back. And I was lying there, and there was some steel cover on the ground, like a black iron, like a, you know, some sewer lines or something under there, you know, some door down there, some drain pipe under the ground or whatever. So I was lying on it, and I looked down, I was so tired, and, you know, I looked down, and it carved in the thing, it was part of the cover there, that iron cover, manhole cover, we call it, manhole cover. It said Prem, P-R-E-M, and then it said underneath, Agra Prem Ironworks. Ironworks, iron, you know, factory. Agra, UP, Agra from down. So I was lying there, yeah. You have to be humble if you want to attain Prem. You really have to be humble if you want to attain Prem. I was lying there, and the pigs were running by my face and stuff, and, you know, dogs, and I'm lying there. Because when you're lying, you know, the pigs, your feet are right there, or whatever is right there, you know. Anything's right there. And so I said, praying, I wanted to lie there. I said, yeah, if I just die here, this is it, you know. I'm looking at this piece of iron, and I'm thinking, praying, praying, praying. frame Dandavats. So I don't know. Dandavats is really good for me. I don't know about anybody else. And I find it. How many have done Dandavats, Radhakund, or anything? You did, Radhakund? It doesn't take, Radhakund doesn't take long. I had an hour, I forgot.
2 hours. 1.5, 2.
I forget. I don't know. I haven't done it a long time, like 10 years or something. I guess it takes longer as you get older. I think that's it, must be. 6 o'clock?
Yeah, past.
Oh.
6, 9.
I'm very strict schedule. Anyone has some pressing question, and if they don't answer it, they'll leave their bodies tonight. Or better than you don't answer it, just leave it, go back to Godhead, and you know, die in Radhakund and forget the question. But because if you answer it, then you may live longer. So, yeah. Anything? Any question? No. Yeah.
I have a question about the Easter date. You saw it. I also think for us it's better to start worship Gonitai because we come from a really dark culture, if you can say.
No culture.
No culture. Yeah.
come from somewhere. We come from Darwin.
Hey, monkey brother! Hey, monkey brother!
I think this is the birthday song for me.
Hey, monkey brother! Hey, monkey sister! I'm a monkey. Yeah, okay, we're monkeys, and then we're trying to Shri Krishna. So,
if I find my Ishta deity, then and. I mean, what to do then with the deities before? Because you worship them maybe a few years or longer.
Oh, where'd you go? I lost track. You changed. Who's your Ishtadeva?
I think Hare Krishna.
Think? Who's your husband?
I know, Hari Seva.
Hey, look at that.
I hope you got that clear.
She said, I don't know, I think there's this guy. So, it's, you know, that's they basically don't have any issue, Dave, if you're on that platform. You know, it's Radha and Krishna, Radha and Krishna, Radha, and Krishna. Vas. Janitai Jaguar, dancing Kirtan, and Gornitai, and Sri Krishna Chaitanya, that's all good. We need to do that, and we like to do that. And we feel blessed when we do that. But Nitai also takes offenses, and Gauranga also takes offenses. Look at Devananda Bhanda, there's a whole long list of people that the Chagai and Mud, I mean. Lord Chaitanya is going to kill them. Oh, Lord Chaitanya, you don't take any offenses. Oh, yeah? What's this? What's this chakra? Watch this, you know? So they take offenses. People say like that. It's not true. Devananda Pandit, he was cursed. I mean, there are so many things. What do you think Aparad Bunga is? Koladweep, there's a whole island called Koladweep. And on Koladweep, there's a place called Aparad Bunga. Bunga means break or destroy. So that's where Lord Chaitanya came back after he went to Puri and he forgave the offenders. So, like Devananda Pandit and Chaitanya Bhagavat. So many preachers, when they don't take any offense, it's wrong. I take offense, you take offense, and Lord Chaitanya takes offense big time. And he wasn't even offended, Nitai was offended. So, okay, Nitai doesn't take offense. But if you offend Nitai, then Lord Chaitanya will come and kill you. So, same as Lord, better Nityananda, you know, reacted, maybe it wouldn't be so mean, he just slapped me. But Lord Chaitanya's going to cut my head off because I offended Nitai. So what are you trying to say? So I think is it Radha Krishna?
No, it was actually a technical question, because if we worship the deities, and then, I mean, of course we worship in the mind, we worship Radha Krishna, but what to do with the deities?
What deities?
What to do with Radha and Krishna?
No, what to do with Gaudita if you worship them for
whatever your deities are, they're all together. I mean, Gaudita, worshiping Gaudita, Prabhupada established worship Gaudita everywhere, and also worshiping Radha and Krishna. So it's just part of our whole puja and getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda so we can attain Radha and Krishna's Nitya Seva and our Siddha Sarup and Goloka Vrindavan. So it's not what to do. What to do is to worship them if you have deities, and then you worship them and you pray for their mercy to that Gaurana Rasa Arnava, that please, you know, I want to please you and be pleased in my puja and bless me, I can realize my Siddha Sarup and my eternal relationship with Radha and Krishna, attain prema, which is what you came to give. So Gaurnitai. So for someone, getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, maybe reading a few shlokas, reading a small description of Gaur's Leela, and chanting one round on his mala of Panchatattva mantra, because the Guru said you chant one round of mala of Panchatattva mantra. And then he does Harinam Sankirtan. But he doesn't have any deities of Lord Gaurnitai, like so many Babaji's or myself. So that's how. But I understand the necessity, and I'm worshiping and praying for the mercy of Gaurnitai. So you have deities, so you may be doing all these things I mentioned you also. Plus, in addition, you're also worshiping deities. There's no problem. It's just you want to worship deities to get their mercy. So it's all part. Because you define. My Ishvade is just like, you know, Krishna, the Guru is Krishna, representing Krishna, but he's not saying, you know, your goal is me. He's saying your goal is Krishna. Like I was asking Gurudev, you know, I said, so at the time of death, some people, they want to think of Guru. Should we think of Krishna? And he said, the Shastra says we should think of Krishna. Yam yam bhapi sram, whatever you think of the time of death, you should think of Krishna at the time of death. I said, but some devotees, they're so much fixed on their Guru, they don't see Krishna. They haven't seen Krishna. It's hard to think of Krishna. It's easier to think of Guru, remember Guru. So if we think of Guru, is that okay? He said, yeah, that's also good. But the Shastras are telling us, remember Krishna. Ante Narayana Smriti. It says Ante Narayana Smriti in Purana. It doesn't say, Ante means end. It doesn't say at the end, think of Guru. But if you think of Guru, it's not wrong. It's okay. Because you'll go where Guru is going. So Guru is there with Radha and Krishna. Because I mentioned this same point I mentioned before. Prabhupada's disciples, they were asked Prabhupada that. They said, we know you very well. In the early days, 66, a small group, they only knew Swamiji. We don't know this Krishna so much. We chant Hare Krishna, but we can see you, we know you. We want to see Krishna, we want to learn more about Krishna, know him. But if we die thinking of you, Prabhupada, where will we go? They asked a straight question. We're not thinking of a Narayan or Krishna at the time of death. So then he said, you'll go where I am. And the devotee said, well, you'll be with Krishna. And he said, yeah, you too. So it's like that, you know, you'll be, so that's okay. So Gaurnitai are bringing us to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. That's the fortune we have in this age, the special mercy. That's why it is possible, even more so possible, because the examples I gave of Dhruva and Narada Muni and Jamil, they didn't have Gaurnitai's mercy. But even they went back to God in one life. Well, they're the exceptional characters. And the same very life. Chances, of course, still it's not so easy. And generally, it's rare. It says right in the Nectar Devotion that Baba Bhakti is very rare. So to go back to Godhead, no matter how much mercy we get of Lord Chaitanya, we have to have prema. We have to get so much mercy from Lord Chaitanya. So it's easier, I would say, in this age of Kali, it's much easier to get prema, and that's told everywhere. The demigods and others are praying to take birth in Kali Yuga because it's such an easy age to get spiritual perfection. Why? Because the holy name is here. Lord Garanga has come to give the holy name. It says right in the Bhagavatam, Kaler Dosh, this is says in the Bhagavatam, Kaler Doshan and Hey Rajan, Asti Eka Mahaganan, Kirtana Deva Krishna Siya Mukta Sangha Parabhijat. So this Kali Yuga is full of dosh. It's a very bad age, very difficult, polluted age. But there's one good quality, Mahagun, Krishna Kirtan. By Krishna Kirtan you get Mukti, Mukti Sangha, Mukunda Sangha. Get the association of Mukunda in the spiritual world. So Well, this is the beauty of Kali Yuga. So we're chanting Holy Name by the mercy of Gauranga, and we're chanting Gauranga's name, worshiping Lord Gauranga. So there's good chances we can practically, if not this life, then next life, or even two lives, say one, two, three lifetimes, which is 240 years, or 280 years, or 180 years, live to be 60 or 70, 210 years, we'll go to the spiritual world. Three lifetimes, 70, 70, 70. And in terms of eternal time and time, we've been in the material world for millions and millions of unlimited time. You know, that's nothing. So that power is all due to the mercy of Kali Yuga and the holy name and Lord Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya. So you have your deities, you worship them, but you're clear about your Ishtadevata is Radhana Krishna, and Gauri Nitya is simply you're doing puja to them to help you realize Radhana Krishna. It's clear. Ishtadevata is one. Radha Krishna Yuga. And that's they're one. They're one and two. Radha Krishna Milita. So it's clear. Gaudiya Vaishnava, every single Gaudiya Vaishnava, no matter how crazy they are about, not crazy, but how serious they are about worshipping only Nitya or Nitya and Gaur, when it's all said and done, the goal is Radha and Krishna. All of our Shastras are telling, all of the Bhagavatam is telling. Bhagavatam is our main Pramanic Shastra. It says Radha and Krishna is the goal. And all the Goswamis. And this is Lord Chaitanya is telling himself. He's asking to Ramananda Roy in Madhya Leela chapter 8, he's asking questions. And Ramananda Roy, when he's giving answers, he's saying, I'm like a parrot. You teach the parrot something to say. You have a parrot. You say Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Oh, he says Hare Krishna. He says, I am like a parrot, and I'm just speaking what you're making me speak. So whatever answers Ramananda Roy gave were actually given by Lord Chaitanya. So he said, what songs are the best songs that we should sing about? And then Lord Chaitanya asked the question, then Ramananda Roy said, we should only sing songs about Radha and Krishna. What is the goal of human life? The goal is Goloka Vrindavan. It's all there. Madhya Leela, chapter 8, Ramananda Samvag. Lord Chaitanya himself is telling the goal is Radha and Krishna. We should worship Radha Krishna. Actually, he says, Radha Krishna Pradhan, he says, Radha Krishna Yuga Mantra. And then Prabhupada says, Kama, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, what is the ultimate song we should all sing? And then Ramananda Roy said, the Radha Krishna Yuga Mantra. So I just asked about this the other day. And I said this, and then Prabhupada put Kama in the translation, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So he said, this is, my teacher said, this is okay, you can take it to mean that, because the Hare Krishna Mantra means Radha and Krishna. The verse only says Radha Krishna Yuga Mantra, so this Maha Mantra is a Yuga Mantra, and Radha and Krishna are there. But it means, really what it means is all songs about Radha and Krishna. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, and so many songs. This is the ultimate songs we should sing, Radha and Krishna. Because this, Lord Chaitanya is saying, these are the Ishtadevatas of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, not me, not Nityananda. Because he could have corrected him. He said, no, it's me and Nitai. We are the Ishtadevatas. Because he's God, he spoke, Krishna's God, Gauranga's God. He spoke in Gita so many things, do like this, think like this, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your obeisances. There's so many dictates and orders and rules given in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, he's speaking through his mouth. Lord Ramananda Roy said, well, the most important songs we should sing are songs about Gaur Nitya. Parama Karuna Pandu Ijana Nitya Gaura Chandra. Right? He didn't say that. But Lord Chandas has this song, and Narottam has so many songs because we pray for their Parama Karuna, that great unlimited mercy of Gaur Nitya. Because like you said, we need it. We all came from Darwin. We all descended from monkey girls, monkey boys, and we do monkey business. So we pray, we need extra mercy. So they're really here. They came 500 years ago for us. Anarpita Karunayatira Kalo Samarpayatum. They came, and it hasn't been given them for a long time. He said, oh, you're from Germany, you're from America, you're from Iran, you're really out to lunch. You're really fallen. So you better, you know, just chant, Nitai Goranga, Nitai Goranga, Jaya Shachinandana, Jaya Shachinandana, just chant and dance. And I'll do the rest. So then you do that, and you become blissful, and then you start practicing bhakti, and you have no guru. Practically every single person, they start practicing bhakti before they get initiated. So who gave the bhakti? Does guru give the bhakti? Or Krishna? Krishna gives the bhakti. Were you doing any spiritual thing like Hare Krishna before you got initiated? Yes? Yeah? Everybody. It says that verse in CC, it says, what is it? Brahmanda Brahmate Kaun Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. It says Krishna gives the seed of devotion, Guru gives the seed of devotion. But generally, and what our Shastra, what Bhaktisiddhanta says, and everywhere it says, that bhakti comes from the guru, but bhakti is transcendental, has no origin. The general philosophy that's preached in our own, to give credit somewhere, because Krishna's kind of hard, how did he give it? We say it comes from guru. He's the Kripa Shakti Murti, and the guru gives the bhakti. This is Sundarvas are telling. But, okay, the guru gives me bhakti, but so when we get connected with guru, that's diksha. But before I got diksha, was I doing any bhakti? Yes. Everybody was. We're hearing and we're chanting. Some people try to give some explanation. No, that was practice bhakti. That was like bicycle with your trainer wheels. You know, you have your little bicycle, but you have two trainer wheels on it, and you couldn't really balance, but you're riding, thinking you're like really cool. Then finally your brother took off the training wheels and you fell off a few times. Then you got, you know, so that was like Sukriti, but it wasn't bhakti. And many interpretations given. It's bhakti. And Krishna gives. But now, when you come to Guru, what does he give? He gives the stairati. He gives the chit-shakti. He gives the knowledge, and he engages you in seva, and he gives you knowledge. So then you develop your chit, and you develop your anand, bliss, spiritual joy, spiritual happiness. In serving Guru and Vaishnavas and Hari, and in the basic practices. So the chit and ananda, they come from Guru. And the bhakti comes. So bhakti, what is bhakti? Bhakti is ladini and samvit. Samvit is chit. And ladini is anand. We're sat. We're eternally existing. And Sandarvas, he says, anand, you know, ananda is the absence of misery. That's the anand we experience. Chidananda Atmika. It says like that, the nature. We as jivas have the potential to experience divine bliss and divine knowledge. But a rock doesn't. This box doesn't. This doesn't. This is also sat. It's existing. But it's just existence, a particle of existence. But we are living existence, right? Can this tape player dance in ecstasy and understand, you know, transcendental knowledge? No, this living entity. So that's our potential. Otherwise, the verse is there in the Bhagavatam, beginningless ignorance. This is our nature, beginningless ignorance. You saw? There's an essay like that. It's very nice. I like it. Actually makes a lot of sense. If we know so much, how come we come out knowing nothing? We don't know anything. We don't even know how to walk, how to talk. Is it? Oh, I'm all knowledge within me. I just have to, you know, my mother just has to rub my belly in a certain way and I'll start speaking the Vedas, you know. All we do is ba, ba, you know, this, that, you know. And gradually learn, ma, ma. Here in Radhakund they learn Ra, Ra, Radha, Radha. Everybody, every time somebody picks up a baby from the time he's like whatever he is, one day old, they look at him, Radha, 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 and they go like this, Radha, Radha, Radha. The kid's like, And just hearing Radha, Radha, Radha. Mm-hmm. And finally he says, Radha, Radha. I have one kid here, they filmed it. First they filmed in Bombay, they sent it to me. There's one Brahmin's friends of mine, and they had this little son. He's saying, Radhe, 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 Radhe. It's just, they have it on the camera, the film, the telephone. And this kid was like, hardly could, you know, exist or whatever. You know, whatever, the smallest, when you can start articulating anything, anything comes out beside, And he was saying, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. There's something close. And they were like so excited, oh, it must be some pure devotee avatar or whatever. That was about 8 years ago, and I think the kid's just going to, Gopal's nursery school or something like that. He's an ordinary guy. But it was quite amazing. Clearly, the first intelligent word he said was Radhe, Radhe. Nice. He writes, maybe he's a Brahmin, maybe someday he becomes a big guru, I don't know. But they write his biography. Ah, when he was a baby, the first word he said was Radhe Radhe. It looks pretty impressive. Radhe Radhe. But I see, I go into Vrishabhasi's house, and I've been around these people, the mother's there, Radhe Radhe, and the grandmother comes here, there, comes over to visit. Oh, Jim Jr. Radhe Radhe. The kid, everybody picks him up, Radhe Radhe. He doesn't have any choice. He has to say Radhe Radhe. I mean, I have friends here. They're Muslim kids. They're Muslim kids. And there's one kid, he's about this big, and they all learn Radhe Radhe. They're born here. There's three or four Muslim families down there by the police station. And there's one kid, he lives right on that road by the Shamsan ground. So a lot of Babas used to walk that way, and whatever they get. So they're walking up and down that road. So he stands in the road. He's a little kid. He's hardly as big as your, tall as your knees. And somebody comes by and he goes, Radhe Radhe. And he goes to him, like, kind of forcefully, Radhe Radhe. And the guy's just walking, not paying attention. Then he goes up and pulls the guy, who's the Babaji's dhoti, you know. He goes, Radhe Radhe. You know, like, you have to chat. And so then Babaji, who is this guy? You know, he's pulling my dhoti. He says, Radhe Radhe. And he's a Muslim baby boy, you know. So then he's like, Radhe Radhe. So he's become famous now on this road. You know, anybody goes by, he attacks them practically. He attacks them and grabs their dhoti. Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe. And like he comes here sometimes. He's a relative of my chokidar. So he looks at him and goes, Radhe Radhe. And I said, okay, all right. It's a little forcefully type, not like Radhe, you know, like loving Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe. Okay, relax. Maybe he wants to have a stick in one hand, Radhe Radhe, you know. So this is Braj. Braj is such an amazing land. You know? Even if you're born a Muslim in Radhakon, your first word you say is Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe. And there's whole verses written about it. I mean, Radharasudra Nidhi said, I think it's Vrindavan Mahimamrita, Prabhudananda Saraswati. He said, you can search all the Vedas. You can search all the Vedas, all the Upanishads, all the Shrutis, Smritis, Mahabharat, everything. And all the Puranas. And you'll not, and no matter how many verses you look and how many stories you look, you won't find any two syllables that are more powerful than this, than these two syllables. Ra, da. So that's his fanaticism, that's his realization, that's his belief, that these are the greatest, and all the stories and philosophies and shlokas and sutras, Vedanta Sutra, this is it. Radha, Radha, Radha.